present, that is nafil rozas. While the husband is at home, if he's during the day at home and she wants to keep nafil rozas, and in case he wants to satisfy himself, then he will not be able to do so because she's keeping roza. So in that case, she should first ask him his permission. وَلَا تَأَذَنَ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And she should, in today's times, with games, with cell phones, etc., then she's not allowed to permit him to come in the house unless the husband permits. So the husband has the right of who has got admission to the house and who has not got admission. And the wife must comply to that and live according to that. This hadith teaches us marital relations preserves modesty and dignity. And maintaining this proper relationship between husband and wife, and they fulfill one another's rights, then there is great peace and happiness in that home. But if unnecessarily she refuses, or she keeps rozas and he's on holiday, he's at home, and you, my cousin, it's only your brother, what's wrong with that? It's a family member. But that allows more trouble, because people also think, well, it's only a family member who's going in that woman's house, so there isn't anything wrong. But that is causes much more fitna. And if it's a strange man, then even neighbors make a noise about it. Even longer. Somebody, I so much in a hurry, from ruku, they raise their head before the imam says, Allahu Akbar. Or they go into sajda before the imam says Allahu Akbar. They already start going down towards sajda. This is prohibited. It should not be. And the warning is dangerous of this. Literal but figurative. That it won't literally become like that, but figuratively it will become. And what is it figuratively? In other words, one who precedes the imam will become weak in understanding and intelligence, like a donkey. A donkey is known for its stupidity. A person will become like that stupid if he starts going against Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam on any matters of deen. These are extremely serious matters, so we should not. Like, for example, a person is involved in some haram, and he says, I will do this haram and I'll see if some harm comes to me. That is very dangerous. If due to our weakness we fall into our haram, except is the most superior. And the husband should not do anything of this nature with his wife while they are fasting. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Hazrat Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه says that نبي كريم صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يحل
شارف بلا وشيخ أبو العارف بالله رومي وخ تبريد دوران در شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ ملکتہ حضرت کا کلام ناز شریف آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں
گر نہ صلی علی ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں ورفعنا کا انعام کن آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں دوست تو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلے یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں جو ہے اسلام یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں
الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عباده الذین اصطفا اما بعد فقد قال And how much we come to know, that is the ma'rifat, recognition of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this poem will teach us some great aspects of what the great position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, let us listen and let us realize and think about it and bring it into us, that if we work towards this, we become conscious of it, to try and develop the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and in fact the takmeel, the perfection of iman of on Allah ta'ala, is to have the greatest love after that of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So much we should have that salawat, his name is being taken and durood is being recited. And there are so many great ashiqs of Allah's Rasul who are reading 1,000 times durood, 10,000 times durood in the whole world. Allah's ashiqs, whether they are males, females, whether they are in jungles, whether they are in cities, but everywhere. And we profess the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are not aware and conscious of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's even existence. Then that would be a sad case. So may we realize. Dosto ye hai shahre Madina. Oh my friend, this is the city of Medina. Jisse Islam phela jahan mein, which your dua is accepted. When the tear drops come out. But everyone can't shed tears. Everyone who shed tears can't shed tears all the time, but everyone can read Durood Sharif. And the dua which is between two Duroods will definitely be accepted by Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala. Whether we see the effect now or later, but it is definitely Durood on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Malaika are here in this world also, they are there in the other world also, all are sending Durood. So great is the Durood and the position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And all who are, and Allah Ta'ala Himself is sending Durood. And Durood is Rahmat-e-Khassa, the very special mercies of, took off from the right leg first. And he got like a shock. And he told him, what are you doing? How can you do that? Like that, that sunnat must become our life. That even like if you are tired and you are not in your right senses, but how can you do something against sunnat? May Allah give us that love and that position, inshallah. Koi samjhega kya khair durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a person, where will he go anywhere else in the world? He'll just want to, his thoughts are with Medina Sharif. When he gets a chance, then he will just want to rush to Medina Sharif and be present there. And he won't find peace anywhere else. Anywhere else in all the cities of the world, all the what that has got association, nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will love all those things also. May Allah bless us with that, and we have to work for that. And that is why Allah has sent us in this world, to achieve, to acquire this love of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Jin ke sadqe mein ima hai jahan mein, in whose, these were not angels in this world, farishtas. Then what were they? And not only them, alhamdulillah, in the annals of Islam, great, great people. And what we have studied and seen, the ulama of Dioban, they are also a reflection of the Sahaba, a reflection, how they sacrificed for the guests of God. Hazrat went in, a cat was sleeping on the bed, Hazrat slept on the carpet the whole night. When they found out this, realized it in the morning, they said, Hazrat, how the bed was prepared for you? He said, and we know when a cat is sleeping, how in a deep, sweet sleep it is enjoying. He said, how could I disturb the cat? وَيُؤْثِرُونَ كَيَا كَهُوا رَفْعَةِ شَانِ gumbat. What can I say about the great honor of the position of the gumbat, the dome, the green dome of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has got nisbat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the dome also has become so, the camel that was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that camel, and today the solution to all our problems, whether it's modernism, whether it's atheism, whether it's whatever it is, if we have love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that convincing love, that true love, that this is the way, then we won't be, nobody can take us away from that. If we have got the true love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we haven't realized it, the enemy, but throughout the year, that whenever patients come, they can be all treated and seen to. And may Allah ta'ala, and in any case, just with that love and that enthusiasm, right from Australia to come, and Allah is watching. And we have many cases where these people who made such sacrifices, Allah ta'ala raised the position. And
so from a young age, I was brought up as a Roman Catholic and, you know, regularly went to church and that sort of thing. And from a young age, maybe about 9 or 10 years old, I started to become what's called a candle bearer. So if you've ever seen, the priest will walk, and in front of out, that's the main thing. So this question lingered in my mind, but I thought the answer was in the church. So I even dedicated my time more to the church. And I then reached another level, which is just under the priest, which is a concept of giving communion. That's a very silly concept. But basically, the priest, he blesses to go and ask Toba from the priest. You would go to him, tell him what you've done, and he would give you some wazaif and say, you're forgiven. But he used to come to our house, and he would get so drunk that we'd have to send him home in a taxi. So I was thinking that who is he asking forgiveness from? That if we're going to ask him for forgiveness, and my heart wasn't rub the lipstick off. And while I'm doing it, I'm just thinking, this is mad. This is really crazy that this thing cannot do anything. It's just a statue. And something in my heart was saying, I don't want to kneel down and kiss this statue. But the priest gave me a nudge with his elbow, and he made me do it. But very scarce. We had maybe 2 masjids. I think there was 1 halal butcher, if I remember correctly. So now the problem was finding decent Muslims, which was very hard to find. Eventually, through a friend, I found, it happened to be a South African family, that alhamdulillah were somewhat practicing. They had, first time I saw beards, so when I walked inside and I saw the process, there was a World Ijtima in 96. And again, mashallah, a Jamaat from South Africa came. 3 brothers I remember in particular, some brothers may be familiar with them. Uncle Sulaiman Patel, they affectionately known as Pistons. Uncle Muhammad, I think, Varachia, that used to run Ahlan wa Sahlan here. And Hafiz Kaka, I remember them particularly. I was really attached to that book, and I read how Hazrat Shirk used to have his marriages, his deal with the deaths in his family, and these type of things. And also in there, now came the topic of Khanka, Tariqa, Murid, Shirk, etc. So we're now faced with this dilemma that what is all this about? I went and spent some time in Nizamuddin and found that I didn't have to go looking. That within a short period of time, our beloved Hazrat came to our doorstep. And literally to our doorstep, Hazrat and Appa came and spent a day, few days with us. And in short, I placed my hand in the hand of Hazrat. And thereafter, and that is the benefit of sohbah. That is the benefit of staying with, coming to majlis, coming to khanka, coming and being with our mashayikh, is then when we'll learn the real essence of deen. But that is on the condition that it's done with ikhlas. I remember Hazrat, I'll finish on this, that Hazrat mentioned last Ramadan as duas, that inshallah one day in Australia we will have fully fledged khankas running where people can come and get their ikhlas. Inshallah, you'll all make dua for us, inshallah. Inshallah, jazakallah
khairan. May Allah all inspire us and to improve ourselves, and it really strengthens a person's iman. How Allah, may Allah make us all like that and take the work of deen from all of us, inshallah. Yeah, we were reading the questions and answers of this person which he had written to Hazrat, and very important points are discussed here. This is also one point which niyat Allah ki rida ki kare. Before doing any amal, just make then the niyat, I'm doing this solely for the pleasure of Allah. That is sufficient. Just make that niyat. Dikhawa irada se hota hai. To do things for show, this is by your intention. You actually make the intention. I'm doing this to show people. In the heart, dil mein dikhawe ka khayal aana. The thought comes in the heart that I'm doing this for show. That's a thought. Aur irada dikhawe ka na hona. And your intention is not to show people. Your intention is that I'm doing this ibadat, or whatever I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala.
That is nafil rozas. While the husband is at home, if he's during the day at home, and she wants to keep nafil rozas, and in case he wants to satisfy himself, then he will not be able to do so because she's keeping roza. So in that case, she should first ask him his permission. وَلَا تَأَذَنَ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And she
speaking, and many others also, MashaAllah, Maulana Abdul Hamid and the Marcus, many others also, I don't know the names of all, but you got good Maulana, all over there, inshallah. And sit in their majalis. Maulana Humair has majlis every Monday and every Wednesday. How far? Kuala Lumpur is far? Or South Africa is more far? Many people feel that if a person flies, then he is very big, pious person. Our elders say, the fly is flying always. So when you fly in the air, make you a big person, then you become better to fly. And you say, Mr. Sir. Karamat of awliya haqq. They are karamat of the awliya. But then our object is Quran. If it's possible, many things like that happen, the awliya, the karamat. La dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadati. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba amalan tuqarribuna ila hubbik. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها وزكها فأنت خير
دعوانا عن الحمد. Then she must not allow him to come without his permission. Only if he permits, she can keep contact with him, which is necessary for family ties to keep contact. But she should limit it to the extent of the husband. She should see the husband's wishes. Or any other person who she is permitted to allow there, come after the rights of Allah Ta'ala. In broader terms, it also indicates that the husband's rights take preference to optional acts of worship, because the former are wajib and the latter are nafil. That is the principle, that what is faraz, that no permission of the husband or anyone is required. That is Allah's commands, and those have dangerous thing in Shariat. So even the husband's younger brother is even more serious, because usually the wife is of a younger age than the husband, and the younger brother, perhaps they are of more or less the same age, and this can cause a lot of fitna. So even if the husband permits his own brother to go and visit, the wife is not allowed according to Shariat, take preference over his marital rights. So there we should remember the rights of Allah, and it's a simple principle, the rights of Allah are more superior than what our rights are. باب تحريم رفع المأموم رأسه من الركوع أو السجود قبل الإمام.